means when they pay you minimum wage. You know what they're trying to tell you is like, hey, if I could pay you less, I would.
Oh, yeah, if that isn't the truth. If you listen to any conservative, he'll tell you they should be able to make a penny an hour if you're willing, if you're desperate enough to work for it. And it's amazing to me that here in Pennsylvania, you cannot get the, even is the paltry minimum wage pass through that someone like Scott Wagner put forth, which was just 50 cents a year for the next 3 years. Strategically, if you're there, to tell you how dead set against raising the minimum wage most Republicans are in this state, they could have done that, put the issue to bed, but even 50 cents an hour for the next 3 years is just too much. Well, just the other day, the governor gave his budget address here in Pennsylvania. I thought it'd be interesting to talk about what was in the budget address, maybe if we'll get a budget on time, and maybe a little bit about the minimum wage, which is why I've asked Senator Art Haywood to come talk with us. Senator, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, thank you so much for allowing me back on.
So what did the governor have to say on Tuesday? What was the underlying message?
I think the underlying message from the governor is that he wants to get this budget done on time, and he challenged the legislature to work with him to get that done. Second, the governor's had a big commitment to education from pre-K all the way to higher ed. And so he's put about $225 million into education with the basic premise: we need skilled individuals to do the jobs that are present today.
Right.
And that can only come from having education as a priority for our workforce. Some people, he put some more money into career and technical education. He's put some more money into higher education. And higher education doesn't mean 4 years. Some people can get a tremendous opportunity with 1 or 2 years of extra training. So this is a focus to build up a commonwealth with skilled workforce that can do the jobs that are going to be around.
Yeah, and to me, that kind of investment is extremely important, you know, not just for the, you know, for the person, but for the entire state. Because if you want to draw, if you want to bring business to our state, you've got to have an educated workforce who has the skills to be able to do those jobs. Because, look, we've already got the location. I mean, Tom Corbett, when he was governor, said, look, we're within a day's drive of 70% of the country's population. It makes sense that this would be a great place, but you got to have the skills and the people to do it.
And that's right. And one of the things that I think we do realize, at least the governor, we cannot tax our way into prosperity. Tax cuts, there's no series of tax cuts that will provide a skilled workforce in the Commonwealth. None. We've got to invest in each other to get that done. The governor's clear about it, and I'm glad that that's a priority. I can share a couple other things that were in the budget I think that are highlights. The governor is committed to raise the minimum wage to $12 an hour. I'm at 15, but of course 12 is a lot better than 7 and a quarter. The governor also called for a severance tax. That severance tax would bring about $200 some million in. We all know that Pennsylvania is one of the only states in the nation which has shale deposits and no severance tax. And so that was another part of his call.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here again, you know, another call to get a reasonable tax, to at least be somewhere and not pull West Virginia down. This is the thing that's really bizarre about this. We're actually pulling West Virginia down and, you know, making them have to consider, you know, doing something stupid. But here again, you know, the last 2 years, we've lost out on this money. And what you guys in the legislature have had, we've got a structural deficit that I don't think anybody's really talking about now, but we did last year. We've got a massive problem that one-time gimmicks and these kind of tricks just keep pushing this down the road towards. At some point, it's going to kick us in the behind.
And it has kicked us in the behind already. You know, we've had several credit downgrades. And those downgrades cost the taxpayers about $100 million a year based upon our low credit rating compared to if we had a decent credit rating. Here's something else I'm not sure you're aware of, Rick. The Commonwealth has a rainy day fund to protect us from emergencies, financial crises.
Sure.
Our budget is about $32 billion a year. Our rainy day fund on a $32 billion budget is around $400,000. $400,000 on a $32 billion budget.
Wow.
That's no rainy day fund.
No, that's changing a changing the cushions on the sofa.
Yeah, it's a serious problem. In fact, not many years ago, the rainy day fund was all the way down to $200,000, also on a $30 billion budget. So the financial mismanagement that we've had for the past several years has caught up with us. You know, we borrowed $1.5 billion. That's right, $1.5 billion we borrowed to cover current expenses in the budget year that we're in now. So we got a long way to go to put Pennsylvania on a firm financial footing where we're investing in each other, where the state is stable. The governor has tried to move us in that direction, but he's in a often a one-on-two situation. We got the House Republicans, the Senate Republicans, and then we got the governor. We tried to help the governor, but you know, Republicans got a supermajority, so it's very challenging.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You said they borrowed a $1.5 billion. What happened to the fiscal conservatives? What happened to the people who say you got to pay your bills? Why is it we're not paying our bills?
And so what happened to the fiscal conservatives is that they've taken an agenda of we're not going to tax anyone any higher, and we're not going to cut expenses any lower. And we can't really cut expenses any lower. Republicans see that we're pretty much already at the bare bones. And so cutting expenses means eliminating health care for individuals, not having enough money to cover prisons. So we're not at a point where we can make any cuts. And so the refusal to raise taxes is really crippling the growth of the state so that we are challenged in making the critical investments that need to be made.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You know, if they continue to fail to make these decisions now, how painful will it be down the road when we absolutely have to?
Yeah, it makes it much more painful every time we kick the can down the road. Hopefully we can get a new composition of the legislature in November and get some people in the legislature in November of this year who will be more responsible, who do see that investments need to be made. And like your household budget, if you've got to put money in, it's got to come from somewhere. It's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the minimum wage. Raising. You brought up the idea of raising the minimum wage. And it's been curious to me for the last couple of years why the Republicans haven't moved forward on Scott Wagner's plan, which, as you know, was 50 cents an hour for 3 years. For me, the idea would have been they could have put the issue to bed, but they can't even get that meager little tiny bit of push through. How are we going to get $12 pushed through? How are we going to get $15 pushed through when you've got a Republican controlled legislature who won't even go up to $8.75?
We got to make raising the minimum wage an election issue. Every legislator's got to be accountable for their decisions to either vote for it or not. And if we make raising the minimum wage an election issue this year, that is our best shot of getting it passed. Because you know, over 70% of Pennsylvanians want to see the minimum wage go up. Over 60% of small businesses want to see the minimum wage go up. So this is a very popular issue, and I think if we can bring it to the attention of the voters can hold these elected officials accountable, and those that are not with us will be out, and those who are with us will be in.
That's the hope. And I got to ask you, I'd be completely wrong to not. What is going on with the Republican leadership around this gerrymandering? I mean, at the end of the day, the state Supreme Court has spoken. These are supposed to be the state's rights people who believe that the states should be doing their own business. They go to the federal Supreme Court. It's kicked back. The way I'm getting it, it looks like that the leader in both the House and the Senate, Scarnati and Terzai, it looks like they're going to try and draw this out and run out the clock. What's going on?
We're in a very difficult position. This Friday, February 9th, is our deadline.
Right.
February 9th, this Friday, is the deadline for the legislature to come up with a plan. We're not scheduled for session tomorrow or Friday. So I don't see how we come up with a plan by the deadline, given the current schedule. We could be called back to Harrisburg to vote, but it hasn't happened yet. And so my sense is that the Republican majority will not come up with a plan, and that will leave it up to the governor to do a plan, and therefore, at some point, the Supreme Court has reserved the power to come up with their own plan. We're not going to get any cooperation from the Republicans. That's the way it looks now. Of course, things could change, but right now, they are taking no cooperation as their position.
Yeah, because, you know, I had said yesterday as we were talking about this issue that it looks to me like they're going to stall and delay this out. And then once the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania makes a decision, then they're going to try and go to federal court and they're going to try and gum this up to just get through one more election to be able to use these horribly gerrymandered districts to their advantage for just one more election.
That is their agenda. They're looking at the prospects of trying to require Justice David Heck to recuse himself. I've heard some talk of the Senate trying to look at impeaching certain judges. These are all delay tactics, one after another, to prevent fair district lines for Congress. What we have an advantage, though, is that we have a Supreme Court order, and now we're moving forward with that order. And even if the Senate Republicans and the House Republicans don't comply, we can get a congressional map from the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
Right. How serious is the Dush memo? How serious is the legislation that he's trying to find co-sponsors for to impeach five Supreme Court justices? Is this getting any legs?
It's hard to say. I was involved in the effort to try to get rid of Attorney General Kathleen Kane when our Senate came up with an outrageous approach to try to get that done, one that did not fit. So I would not be surprised if the Senate Republicans tried a similar tactic, including impeachment, to try to slow down this process. I don't think that they have the votes to impeach, but it doesn't mean that they wouldn't start a process all intended to delay, delay, delay.
That seems to be the key to this. And, you know, for me, all of this stuff, everything we've talked about, is something every voter should remember come November.
It's got to be. It's got to be because these district lines are unfair. They have been ruled unfair. And we've got one branch of the government that's not willing to cooperate with a Supreme Court order. Even if you disagree with the Supreme Court order, it is the rule of law that we need to follow. And so whether you're for the new maps or not for the new maps, we should all as Pennsylvanians be for the rule of law and following court orders from the Supreme Court, the highest court of the land. So I think that there will be a time of accountability. We've got to raise it so that voters know what is going on and what happened in February. But we have a point of accountability. We just have to make sure that the voters are aware of it.
Now, last question I've got, you know, the minimum wage, what should people be doing? I know there's a ton of organizing. I know there are a number of groups that have signed on to pushing this. What should our listeners do? What should people be doing?
They should contact their state senator or their House member now and let them know that the minimum wage has to go up to at least 12 an hour. Even though I'm at 15, if they're not comfortable with 15, they can stay with the governor and be at least at 12. There's going to be a number of days of action between now and June to put pressure on the legislature throughout the state. That's going to include Harrisburg, Erie, Johnstown, the areas of the state where we've got to persuade. That's where the action is going to be focused. And I'd also ask them to follow me on Facebook or Twitter, because we are one of the leading voices for raising minimum wage. We will share whenever there's a day of action with individuals.
There you go. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, @Senator Haywood, we'll get that link out for folks to be able to take a look at it. Senator, I appreciate you taking time. I wish you the best. And as this continues, please come back and share with us what's going on.
Thank you so much for allowing me on. Thank you so much, Rick.
It's always great talking with you. Thank you, Senator. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.